This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is a Knife and Fork Radio Show. You hear us every Thursday morning with your hosts, Mike and Eric. Hopefully everyone had a good week since we spoke to you last. I know we did. Like I say, every week, Thursday is my favorite day of the week because I so look forward to coming in here and doing this broadcast every week. Mike, how was your week so far since we heard from you the last time?
Week's been great so far. Took a couple days off, took the weekend off.
Hey, good for you. Did you do anything fun?
Absolutely not.
That's what I like to hear. That's fun.
No, yeah. That's fun, of course. Spend some time with the family, stuff like
it's
that.
It's a good time. There's nothing wrong with that at all. You got to do it. We don't get enough time in our busy lives, especially as restaurant operators, to find the time to go and spend that quality time with our family and hang out.
Yeah, so it was cool to get to see my wife for a couple days.
Awesome. Yeah. Very cool. Well, listen, we've got a really, really good show lined up for us today. We're going to do our top 10 list. We'll get into that here in just a moment. Then I've got a really, really great guest in studio with us today. This guy dates back to when I was a child. I used to watch this gentleman on the news. He's had a very illustrious career in television broadcasting and radio as well. His name is Roberto Alvarez. The listening audience, if you've been in the Tampa Bay area for quite some years, you may remember him as Bob Alvarez. He was a sportscaster on multiple networks in the Tampa Bay area. And I'm literally sitting in the studio with the Tampa Bay sports broadcasting legend right now.
Icon.
And I'm beside myself. We couldn't be happier to have him in the studio. How are you doing, Roberto?
Very well, and thank you. I appreciate it very much.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure. I've been looking forward to this day since we spoke, about 3 weeks ago?
At least.
And I've been booked, and I haven't had the time because I try to book my shows out a couple weeks out. And then this week, I had someone booked, and it didn't work out. I said, you know what? I got Roberto on the hook. Let me call this guy, get him in here sooner than later. And here we are today, and we're going to have a great show. And I can't wait for the listening audience to hear from you moving forward.
Looking forward to it.
And, you know, like I tell every guest that we have in the studio, Roberto, at any point in time during this broadcast, if you want to chime in, don't worry about it. Jump right in. You don't have to wait for the second hour or the second segment of the show to start talking and doing whatever. We're interactive. We like the guests to call in. We like to banter back and forth, Mike and myself. And anytime you want to jump in, you're our guest on the show. So you've got the floor just as much as Mike and I do.
Thank you.
Ed, how are you doing back there in the production studio this morning, sir?
Actually, I'm doing all right, but everybody out there, be fair warned that there's a strong line of thunderstorms making their way towards the Bay Area here in the next hour or so.
Oh, yeah. It's going to tornado watches and everything.
Winds and stuff like that, so be careful.
Yeah, it was a rough ride in for me this morning. I know I come from Palm Harbor, and once I got closer to the water as I approached the studio, man, I'll tell you, I'm driving my truck right now because I told everybody last week about my accident with my Hyundai that I got into when that guy rear-ended me. So it finally went to the shop, and hopefully this insurance company will do the right thing. But I'm driving my work truck today, which is like an old Ford F-150, and it's got the Goodfellas logo on the back of it. No air conditioning. I have to put power steering fluid there every 2 weeks. It burns oil like nobody's business. It leaks oil. It gets 13 miles to the gallon. It is just a tank. But I'm telling you, 260,000 miles on a work truck, and that thing is strong, man. I drove that here this morning. What's that?
Still pumping, right?
Oh, it's still pumping, man. Yeah, I drove it here this morning, and the wind was so strong, it's blowing that 6,000-pound truck all over the road like a rag doll. I was just like, man, hopefully I can get out of here after the show's over. If not, Ed, you and I are going to be spending the rest of the day together. How's that sound?
Try taking it across one of our bridges.
Oh, forget
that was me. That was me. I was driving my Challenger across Courtney Campbell. Yeah. That was fun.
Oh, yeah, because you get good wind coming off the Courtney Campbell.
Plus, it just gives it downforce because it's so low to the ground.
Yeah.
So it literally, I'm not moving anywhere, buddy. I'm just digging in it.
Yeah, there's going to be some pretty severe weather coming up today. So everyone that's out there listening, make sure that you take precaution and you stay off the roads as much as possible until things clear up out there. We want them to be safe, and we want you to listen to the show on a weekly basis. So don't go hurting yourselves today because of this weather. You can't listen to the show next week if you're dead.
We suggest just pulling over and listening to the listening to the show, right?
What's
just pull right over and listen to the show.
Yeah, just pull over, listen to the show, and then listen to the replay again. Listen to the replay. Let everything blow over, and we're good to go.
Yeah, that's my suggestion.
Listen, you guys, we got the call lines open today, as we do every week, 727-441-3000. If you're outside of the listening area, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-826-1340. It's a Knife and Fork Radio Show. We're going to get into the top 10 list here in just a minute, but I just wanted to say we do have a couple of national holidays today. We did an intro last week. And today, there's a couple of national holidays.
I'm stoked to hear about it.
Now, the first national holiday is National Cheese Fondue Day. Have you ever heard of that? That's a real thing, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
National Cheese Fondue. It would be a first for me.
Yeah, for me too, yeah.
There's also fondue?
Fondue, yeah, absolutely. What do you think about that, Ed?
It's too much work.
Have you ever done fondue?
It's too much work. No. It's a microwave, a bowl of cheese, that's it.
Well, here's another national holiday for you guys. If you don't want to take the extra work to do the National Cheese Fondue Day, you can always have National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day. That's today's national holiday.
That sounds good.
Nice. Yeah. Nothing wrong with a good grilled cheese, especially on a cold day. You know, get a bowl of soup to go with it.
Yeah, and that's some tomato bisque.
Yeah, man.
I'll knock it up right off.
I make a nice tomato basil soup at work. Oh, nice. And every time I run it, I do what's called an adult grilled cheese sandwich, and I take the 12-inch roll that I serve my subs on. I put bacon on there. I put tomatoes. I put three different types of cheeses, fresh mozzarella. I put yellow American. I put Swiss on there. And then I press it with a garlic butter on the grill. And I serve it with a cup of the tomato basil soup. And I'll tell you what, man, that sandwich sells like nobody's business.
Well, I haven't eaten yet, so thanks.
I was going to say, I'm hungry now.
Unfortunately, the only thing I brought with me today was a fondue pot. So hopefully you guys are ready to do some work, all right? Because I left the grilled cheeses at the shop.
As long as we have some red wine vinegar, we'll be fine.
I can probably make that happen. I got to dig through that beast of a work truck, but I'm sure I'll probably find a bottle of it back there behind the scenes somewhere.
Let's use Power Syrup for it, man.
All those trips to Restaurant Depot over the course of the last 5 years, I've probably forgotten a bottle of vinegar in the back of the truck somewhere. I can't guarantee the freshness of it, but it is vinegar. So does it go bad? I don't know.
You just have DOT-10 in there?
That's it. You know, it's funny. Funny story. I used to actually work for the Melting Pot restaurants. You ever been to the Melting Pot, Roberto?
Never.
All right. Well, you know what? Have you been to the Melting Pot? It's an experience. It's an experience. So you don't go there on a regular basis if you just want to go and have a nice, quick in-and-out dinner. The experience takes anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 hours, start to finish. And they bring out multiple pots of different items that you order. So basically, you can get a cheese fondue. The server comes and makes it tableside for you. They bring out little bits of bread, vegetables, things like that to dip into it. Then they bring out the entree pot, which either could be oil if you want your food fried, or they bring out like a pot of like broth. Right. And then they give you literally a plate of raw food. And they say, okay, here's your dinner. And then you have to take the raw shrimp, steak, chicken, whatever it is, stab it with the fondue fork, and cook it yourself. That is got to be a franchise owner's dream, because you don't have any recooks. You don't have anything coming back to the kitchen. No one's ever, you don't have the cooks in the back that are undercooking or overcooking the steaks. No, and we call them boomerangs in the business, where you send the steak out and you know it's coming right back because it's not cooked correctly. The customers, it's on them. So if they mess it up, they got to buy another round of it again.
Exactly.
And it is not cheap at the Melting Pot. Party of two, if you get a bottle of wine or a couple glasses of wine, or you know, if you just get iced tea and soda, you're spending $175 all day long. And that's just for two people.
You know, every time I hear the word fondue, reminds me of the movie Anchorman.
Yeah,
Ron Burgundy.
I'm going to tell you what. You want to get started on Ron Burgundy, that movie start to finish. I will quote it start to finish,
man.
I was actually just watching Talladega Nights yesterday. It was remember, we used to sit back and when we were younger and we'd kick back and watch Talladega Nights. It is still, like, it is such a funny movie. I love it. You know, when he says, I can't say the word over the air, but he's like, if you don't like Big Red, like you. It's like, what? Who says that? It's so funny. Will Ferrell was the best. He still is, but his movies back in those days were just, he was pumping them out left and right. They were so funny.
Here's a funny story. My 12-year-old daughter won't eat a fried shrimp.
Right.
But she will eat fondue all day long.
No kidding. Do you guys have a fondue pot at home, or do you take her to the Melting Pot?
No, we used to take her to the Melting Pot, but now that I know the Melting Pot is funding National Fondue Day, I will no longer support it.
I totally understand. I do.
No,
I got a funny story about the Melting Pot, too, because like I said, I worked there for a few years. I worked there for quite a few years because they own the restaurant Grillsmith out there in Clearwater and Countryside. And so I started with the Melting Pot back in, probably mid-2000s, I guess. Maybe the late 90s, now that I'm thinking about it. And I did a 5-year run with them, and I started off as a kitchen manager, you know, because at that point in my career, that was the level of expertise that I had. I didn't know anything about front of the house, so I started off as a kitchen manager, and then I went to and I helped them in the other locations, and I turned out to be the area kitchen manager. So I was overseeing all three of them at one time, and then we opened up Grillsmith, and I did the lateral move over to Grillsmith, and that's when I ended my career with the company 5 years later after a 5-year contract. But nonetheless, there was a location in St. Pete. Of the Melting Pot, Right on 4th Street. It used to be an old house.
Exactly.
You know that location? Mm-hmm.
Yes,
you know the story?
Do.
You know the story behind it?
No.
All right. So apparently this restaurant was haunted. And now I'm going to tell you what. I'm not a superstitious person, at least, but I will tell you there were multiple occasions where I heard stories from staff and from other managers. I remember my buddy Frankie, he used to work there, and he was a closing manager. He was a GM. He was closing up one night. And we used to sell these balloon packages because it's like a celebration type restaurant. Mm-hmm. And so if you wanted to have balloons on your table, or if you wanted to have, you know, like flowers, we had arrangements available for purchase at the time of, or prior to your arrival. And I remember what the server would do at the end of it. If they forgot their balloons on the table, they didn't take them home, they would just go in there, pop the balloons, throw them in the trash, and call it a day. Well, there was a balloon package on the table that a customer had left, and server went in there. Swear to God, this is Frankie telling me this. Like, you know, there's a balloon package on the table. Server goes in, follows protocol, pops balloon, boom, 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 gets it done, throws it out, goes about their side work, finishes up the shift. Everyone's out of the building at this point. Frankie's the last one. He's the closing manager. He goes into that room just to go double check, make sure everything is locked up, secured. What does he see? He looks up in the corner of the room and sees a balloon floating there that was never in that room previously.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
oh,
man.
That's interesting.
And there was like a big like glass chandelier hanging from the ceiling. There was multiple reports that the chandelier would just start shaking for no reason whatsoever. Customers would, I don't know if they would make this up because they understood or they knew the history, but they would hear reports of like just people screaming in there and no one else in the building would hear it. They're like, hey, did you guys just hear that? And they're like, what are you talking about? And so, yeah, it was a crazy place. And Frankie would call me up sometimes at the end of the night and he was just like, you got it. You don't even know what I just went through. I'm like, just get the hell out of there, man. Run. You know what I mean? Don't look back. Just get out of there. Yeah.
Call Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Get the Ghostbusters in there. Pretty crazy. Yeah, so anyway, those were fun phone calls when I'm closing up my Clearwater store and I'm just walking out the door and he's calling me up saying he's just finishing up and he's got a haunting in his restaurant. I'm like, well, sorry, buddy. Sorry about your luck.
Yeah, that's why you're the closing manager.
Yeah, sorry about
that. Not me.
Let's get into the top 10 list real quick. Again, the phone number 727-441-3000 or toll-free 866-826-1340. If anyone likes to call in during this top 10 list and take a guess at the bounty, which I have on one of these on the top 10 list, you're more than welcome to. I've got a $20 gift certificate to Goodfellas Knife and Fork available for whoever gets it. Now, I've got the top 10, excuse me, restaurants in the Tampa Bay area. This is ranked by USA Today. So it's a big production. And so now we're not talking about fast food restaurants. We're talking about the top 10 restaurants in the Tampa area. So for anyone out there listening that you want to take a stab at this, think big. Think restaurants that are, you know, basically they're a little bit pricier maybe, mm-hmm. a little higher end, you know what I mean? What's going to get nominated for like a James Beard Award or something like that? That's what we got to think of. So number 10, I've never heard of this restaurant myself, but it made the top 10. It comes in at number 10, Edison Food and Drink Lab. Has anyone ever heard of that restaurant? It's on 912 West Kennedy Avenue, I guess, in downtown.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that?
That is, I know exactly where that's at.
Really?
A friend of mine that does hair.
Okay.
Her name's Kimmy.
Right.
She's right down the street from there.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Edison Food and Drink Lab. Well, they made the top 10 list. They came in at number 10.
That's a big deal because it's not huge. That's a big deal.
They must do a really good job.
They do a really good job.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Yeah. I'd have to check that out one of these days. Number 9, this restaurant really hit the scene hard quite a few years ago, and they've really come up with a name for themselves in the area, Eulalie.
I love Eulalie, but I do not love the menu.
Really?
I do not love the menu at all.
What is it about the menu you don't like? I personally have never been there. You know, because being in Palm Harbor, I just kind of like, I don't stray from my area.
Right.
Well,
the setting's great. The scenery's great. The location is great. The menu is just, it's just abstract.
Okay.
It's really strange.
Yeah,
it's like
different.
They tried a little bit too hard to be too creative, and it's not that great.
Yeah, it's just one of
those
things.
You know what I mean? It's
one
of those things.
Totally understand. I know exactly what you're
really
talking about.
They're really trying to be artsy.
They're reaching.
They're reaching.
Do they do like the tweezers and things with the food and the plates and all that stuff?
Yeah, then they do like Gouda stuffed grouper, and then...
Yeah.
So Gouda doesn't go with grouper because they're both so mild.
Fish and cheese, they shouldn't go together anyway.
They usually don't go together. So like they're reaching on a lot of things.
Yeah.
And we used to go there to just drink and hang out.
Yeah, just hang out. Maybe get an appetizer or something.
Not the food's not great. It's just not my style.
Right, I got you. Have you ever been there, Roberto?
Never.
No, you've heard of it, though, I'm sure.
Heard of it, yes.
They've got a really big name in the area.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's a Gonsmart restaurant, isn't it?
You know what? I'm not
sure.
Possibly.
Yeah, Columbia. I think so.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah.
I think so.
It could be.
The chef from Eulalie's on the phone.
Oh, wonderful. Let's go ahead and talk to him. Hey, how you doing out there, Chef?
I'm curious. Chef from Eulalie, I'm glad
you listened to the show.
I'm curious.
Everything is great at my restaurant.
Okay, thanks, Chef from Eulalie. We'll talk to you soon. Number nine, this restaurant my wife and I, we go to. We haven't been there quite some years, but it's a really, really good restaurant. And it's in the Hyatt out there on the Courtney Campbell Causeway in the Tampa side, Oyster Catchers. That comes in at number eight. Great restaurant. They do a phenomenal job. They're right there on the water. They've got one of the best views in Tampa where you look out the window. Inside dining, outside dining. And it's in the Hyatt, same building that Armani's is in, mm-hmm. but it's on the bottom floor versus the top where Armani's is. And I'll tell you, the food at Oyster Catchers is exceptional. So if you all ever want an opportunity to go to a really good restaurant, it's not incredibly pricey, but you're not getting out of there cheap either. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's reasonably mm-hmm. fine dining, you know, if that makes any sense. Tampa Classic, number seven. Columbia Restaurant. We've all been to the Columbia Restaurant before. And I'll tell you what, they've really built an empire, the Columbia Restaurant.
They built an empire, which means they should be higher on this list.
Yeah, they should be. They've been around for 100-plus years, too. So hopefully, you know, being around for 100-plus years, you're going to build an empire. But everywhere you go, like any type of a touristy spot or in the area, I know my wife and I would like to go to St. Armand Circle mm-hmm. in Sarasota.
I was there this weekend.
Were you? Yeah. And you probably saw the Columbia right there.
I did see the Columbia.
And the place right next to it, I can't remember the name of it, but it's like a... It's kind of like a sandwich joint with all the frozen drinks, beach theme, whatever.
Yeah.
They're owned by the Columbia as well, It's the same company, and they throw down, man. Their food is outstanding.
Really?
We go there instead of the Columbia when we go to St. Armand's because it's just we want something quick. We want a nice sandwich, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We don't want to sit down, order paella, wait 45 minutes for it. We just want to get in and out, get a beer.
Because you're cruising, hanging out, whatever.
Exactly. But, yeah, they do a really good job. Number six, this one hit the scene pretty hard, too. Rooster in the Till. Rooster in the Till.
Rooster in the Till is good.
Yeah.
This reminds me a little bit of Eulalie.
Oh, is that right?
But a little more southern fried.
I got you.
So, but I prefer the menu definitely over Eulalie.
Oh,
sure.
Rooster in the Till? Yeah. 100%. Yeah, they hit the scene pretty hard, too. And they really, that's a small little operation,
that's
too.
That's a small operation.
I know the chef, the executive chef of Rooster in the Till, and you won't even believe this, they don't even have a walk-in cooler there.
Really?
They work out of reach-ins. They basically do the same thing at Rooster in the Till that I do at my restaurant. So all the prep they have to do for the day of, nothing is left moving into the next day because they don't have any storage. There's no walk-in mm-hmm. cooler. And it's a small little dining room. There's not that many tables in there.
It's very arduous to have to do that every single
day. Oh, my God. You don't even know, man. I do.
Oh, I know. It's not
crazy.
Easy. Not easy.
Next restaurant, number five, Cena. Has anyone heard of that?
Cena?
Like John Cena, spelled the same way? C-E-N-A?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's in Channelside? Yeah, I've never heard of that one.
I would pronounce it Chena. It's an Italian word, Chena, which means dinner.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's why
John Cena pronounces his name correctly also.
So his name is John Dinner?
I know John. Actually, I'll tell him. You said that next time.
Yeah,
right?
Thanks.
Tell John Dinner that Roberto said, this is how you pronounce your last name.
Hey, we're in the South. It's John Supper.
All right. John Supper, yeah. Coming in number four, En Swan, 1501 Swan Avenue. Everyone's heard of En Swan.
Oh, yeah.
Number three, Mise en Place out in Kennedy in Tampa. Great restaurant.
I haven't been there.
Marty Blitz, great. He's classically French trained. His restaurant is French themed. Marty Blitz is the executive chef. He was actually, when I worked at Grillsmith, he was our contracted executive chef for the first year that we were open. He wrote the initial menu. I got to know him really well, and his food is exceptional. He does a great job. Now, Mise en Place is more of white tablecloth, fine dining.
Right.
You know, you walk in, it's a little bit dated inside, but the food is outstanding. And Marty is a great, great chef. He did a great job with us at Grillsmith, and that's why his restaurant made number three on this list, because he's just phenomenal. He was actually he was a chef for the NFL when teams would come into town.
Oh, yeah.
He was the contracted NFL chef, so he would cook the dinners
Raymond
and the meals.
James.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, fantastic.
Yep. Wow. Yep. Number two, Oak and Ola. I've never quite heard of that one before either.
I think I've seen it, but I haven't been to it.
They're located at 1910 North Ola Avenue, shockingly enough.
Maybe
they're on the corner of Oak and Ola. I don't know.
Maybe that's it.
Makes sense.
And then number one, it's pretty well-known restaurant in the area. Everyone knows it. Everyone's probably been there. Burns Steakhouse.
Long time.
Yeah, I know. Me too. It's been a long time.
I enjoy Burns like anybody else.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I still prefer Charlie's over Burns but any day of the week.
You know, and Charlie's does a great job, too. Ruth's Chris does a great job.
I'm shocked that they're not on this list.
I know, me too. Burns just has that reputation, though, of excellence in the area.
And then the dessert room and then all that.
Absolutely.
They have everything.
It's the pinnacle of dining.
Yep. And it's the experience,
It's the pinnacle of dining, absolutely.
So, am I mistaken? All those you listed were in Tampa.
Everything on this list was in Tampa. Yep. It was a top 10 Tampa restaurant list.
No Eddie V's or anything like that?
No, Eddie V's was on the list, but it didn't make the top 10 list. I don't remember what number it was. I think it came in at like number 12 or 13,
love Eddie V's, man.
If I remember correctly. Yeah. But it didn't make the top 10, but it was on the list for sure.
100%. Ocean Blue.
I didn't even see that one on
Ocean
the list
Prime.
At all. Ocean Prime. Yeah.
Prime.
All those
Listen,
guys.
I love Ivoroni's. You know what
Ivoroni's
I mean?
Does a good job.
I love Ivoroni's. I think they do a great job.
You've probably been to Ivoroni's before, haven't you, Roberto?
Long time ago.
Yeah, Himes in Tampa.
That's in my
You're a Palm
woods.
Harbor guy. I'm out by St. Pete Beach.
Oh, okay.
So
I got you.
That's my neck of the woods.
Yeah. We've got a friend of ours that you ever go to downtown St. Pete for dinner and hit those little tiny restaurants out there?
Sometimes.
Yeah. We got a friend of ours. He opened up about 3 years ago called Wild Child. The food is absolutely top notch. He's an excellent chef and he does a really good job. He's a chef owner and they do a really, really great job. Their food is outstanding. So, again, another small little place. Not that many tables inside, not too many outside, but they pack them in, man, and they've got a good reputation. So if you ever want to go to downtown and get something to eat, try it out, man. Yeah,
Sounds
Chef Rob,
good.
He owns a place. He will take good care of you for sure. Shout out to you, Rob.
Well, there's one A also, and there's one B. So one A is Burns, one B is Goodfellas, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Goodfellas,
of course. Yeah, absolutely.
I was just making sure we were getting the list correct.
100%, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, one B, we made the number one list, but, you know.
Listen, you can't always be A. Sometimes B's okay.
What are you going to do? Hey, listen, guys.
Be on the list.
We got to take a short break. We ran a little bit long in this first segment. Call lines are going to be open when you come back. I've got Roberto Alvarez here with us in the studio, 727-441-3000. Hope you're enjoying the show so far. We look forward to getting this damn commercial over with and getting back to the content of this show today. See ya.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
At Goodfellas Knife and Fork Italian Kitchen, we never compromise quality. Every dish is made to order, and everything that goes in the dish is made from scratch. From our delicious marinara sauce to our homemade croutons that go on your Caesar salad and everything else in between, we offer dine-in, take-out, and delivery as well. Call us at 727-841-8864 or check us out on the web at www.goodfellasitalian.com. We also have a full catering menu available for all of your large party needs. Mention this ad and get 10% off your entire order. Once again, that's Goodfellas Knife and Fork Italian Kitchen. We're located at 5446 Grand Boulevard in beautiful downtown Newport Richey. You can reach us at 727-841-8864. Check us out on the web at www.goodfellasitalian.com.
This April 9th to the 14th, join us in Lakeland at Sun and Fun's biggest event ever. Discover a jam-packed lineup of special events all week long. Dazzling air shows and hundreds of exhibits are waiting for you. And don't miss a once-in-a-lifetime concert by Dylan Scott.
I need one she ain't climbed up in that ain't played her favorite songs.
With special guest Sarah Evans on opening night Tuesday, April 9th at 6 p.m. Witness the Thunderbirds soar through the afternoon sky as you explore more than 500 exhibitions. Watch mesmerizing fireworks shows on Wednesday and Saturday night and more. Get ready for an immersive experience for the whole family. And don't forget, you can bring kids under 10 for free. Whether you stay for a day or all week, take fun to new heights this April. Don't miss out on Sun and Fun 2024. Get tickets and a guaranteed parking pass at flysnf.org. That's flysnf.org.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Knife and Fork Radio Show with Mike and Eric. Sun and Fun, man, that's a great time. I just heard Ed's commercial for Sun and Fun, and it just makes me think about it. It is such a good time if you're looking something fun to do. And you're into aviation, or if you're into any kind of motorsports, or if you love the smell of internal combustion engine like I do.
Jet fuel. Yes.
Jet fuel. Oh, my God. Just go. And Sun and Fun lasts for like, it's like a 5 or 6 day event.
Yeah, it started actually on the 9th.
Yeah, and it goes through the Sunday.
All the way through the weekend.
Yeah, and it
is. So, of course, today's not going to be a great day, but the rest of the weekend is Beautiful. Friday's going to be fantastic through Sunday.
Yeah, if you ever
fireworks are on Saturday night.
If you ever have an opportunity to see the Thunderbirds or the Blue Angels in person, even if you're not a fan of racing or aviation like I am, it's awe-inspiring. Just the maneuvers. It's out in Lakeland. It's right off I-4. If you ever have the opportunity to see the Angels or to see the Thunderbirds in action,
all the people that go to the planes, you know, the mom and pops, whatever. They fly out there and they pop their tent right next to the plane, and that's where they are for the week.
Then they fly home.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a Sun and Fun fly-in. Yeah, they invite all the pilots from around the country to fly their little Cessnas in, their Pipers, whatever they have.
Yeah.
And they've got an entire field set up where you just park your plane, and then you just set up, like Ed said, you just set up your tent, and you just hang out.
And you fondue all day.
Fondue all day. Yeah. You eat grilled cheese sandwiches.
I think there's a guy that, I don't know if you ever watched this show, I think it was on Discovery. Airplane Repo.
Yeah.
That's an awesome show.
His name is Mike. I can't remember his last name, but he lives in Lakeland.
Is that the main guy in the show? The one that the one
long,
that goes in
long straight hair.
Okay, long hair. Yep, I know.
He goes to it every year.
Yeah.
So
I like that show, Ed, but it was definitely staged, man. You know what I mean? It's like, we're looking for this Piper or whatever, you know, like jet, you know, blah blah blah, and we can't find it. Oh, look to the left. It's under that tarp. Yeah. And it's like, oh god, it just popped up. Like you literally, it's a $7.5 million jet, and you got it covered under a tarp, and you just stumbled across it. Get out of here.
Yeah. Well, same thing with the Big Rig Repo.
Right.
Yeah,
same thing. Like, all those shows are staged.
Where's the Big Rig at? Yeah. It's parked behind the 7-Eleven.
We could talk about Big Rig Repos and aviation all day long, but I definitely want to get over to our special guest in the studio today, Roberto Alvarez. Now, like I said before, we went to the, when I first started the show, like I've been listening to Roberto on the air for years. He actually came across this show and contacted me, and I saw his name. I'm like, I know this guy from somewhere. And then I did a little research on the internet machine, the Magic Box, which is the computer that I have in front of me. And I found out that I remember him from when I was growing up. I mean, sports broadcaster, on television, out in the field, at Super Bowl coverage. I mean, he spoke with Muhammad Ali. He's interviewed, Michael Jordan. I mean, this guy is the real thing in broadcasting. And I just want to turn the floor over to Roberto and give you a proper introduction. There you go. And how you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well. And again, a heartfelt thank you for having me here this morning.
Of course. It's our pleasure. Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about your career and, what led you to what you do today?
My broadcasting career spanned about 25 years. And I originally, in that career, started as a DJ. On the radio back in the day when you picked the albums, it was something that I was always drawn to music. I remember as a kid, I think it was 1960, I was 5 years old, and heard, I can't remember if it was either It's Now or Never from Elvis, which, by the way, the melody of that song he stole from the Italian song O Sole Mio.
No kidding.
But I think because it was Elvis, they said it.
I can hear it. I'm playing it in my head right now. I can. Yeah, it's Now or Never. Yeah, I can hear it in my head. That's interesting. Yeah.
So it was It's Now or Never or Return to Sender. I had my little red transistor radio. And then maybe sixth grade, seventh grade, I heard Herb Alpert.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And then high school, and I heard Santana.
Yeah.
And so I was interested in music, went to college, DJed at a campus radio station, got involved with some television. And so my initial, because I was studying Italian as well in college, my initial goal was to go to Italy and be a journalist.
Oh, wow.
But when I went to school in Italy in 1978, which further cemented that idea of what I wanted to do. But when I graduated college, like any good Italian kid, went back home to mom's house, playing baseball with my buddies, broke my leg. Back then, that laid you up for about 6 weeks. During that 6 weeks, a local radio station called me and offered me a part-time job DJ.
Oh, you jumped on that opportunity.
Exactly.
Yeah, you didn't hold back on that one.
So did that, and then near my mom's house was also a local PBS station. So the proverbial knocking on the door and got refused a few times. Then, through some research, I found out the general manager was an Italian guy.
Okay.
So I went. I didn't even set up appointment. Went directly to his office, knocked on the door. A week later, I had a job.
Nice.
Oh,
nice.
Master control room supervisor.
Oh, man, that sounds official.
Whatever that is.
We'll take it.
Yeah, it sounds official.
Long story short, they were doing a live sports show on Friday nights, and I got involved with that. And that led to one job led to another. So for 25 years, I anchored the sports on the news at night. At three stations, I was the sports director, which meant you were the head of the sports department. Mm-hmm. And that's what brought me to Tampa in 1988. I was working at the time prior in El Paso, Texas.
Okay.
And got offered the job here, took it. Had a nice run here, 7 years, I think it was, mid-90s. I went to New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. That's where I'm from.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I worked at WDSU.
Oh, nice.
NBC
fantastic.
Affiliate in New Orleans for 3 years.
Jim Henson?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, hometown hero.
Did my 3 years there. Liked New Orleans, but didn't like it enough to want to stay. So I left and came back here. I was working for a production company, Video Art Productions in Palm Harbor. Mm-hmm. And we were doing the Buck Show, the Rays Show, nice. The Lightning Show, et cetera. So got involved with that. And then about 2002, had the proverbial look in the mirror. And I just wanted to do something new.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew during my broadcasting career that wasn't going to be it for me. And hence, I was never interested in working for ESPN or anything like that. I knew there was something else I wanted to do. So I looked in the old mirror and said, what else do I know how to do besides this? Talk, microphone, right. Transmit. So I said, well, I speak Italian. I have a degree in Italian. I've used my broadcasting degree. Let me try this one. So I approached a community center, did a few classes.
Nice.
And then I started approaching restaurants. So what I do now, my Italian classes, I teach beginner's conversational Italian.
Mm-hmm.
So I do my classes in Italian restaurants. Right now I'm in St. Pete, Tampa, Bradenton, and Palm Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a 4-week class. We meet once a week. We eat, we drink, we laugh, and we learn.
Nice.
So it's a nice, for people going on a vacation. And I tell people, I'm going to say something very sophomoric. There's a reason they call them foreign countries.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of what the travel agent tells you, everybody speaks English.
Right.
That's not the case.
Absolutely.
So I always say it's better to travel with knowledge because the alternative is not good.
Yeah.
And you're going to a foreign country. So the classes are perfect for someone that is going to Italy, wants to learn a little of the language, learn some of the customs. I mean, we travel or cover everything from your morning coffee to your digestivo, your after dinner drink, mm-hmm. and everything in between, hotels, trains, how to buy, how to manage yourself in a restaurant, what a menu looks like, more importantly, what a check looks like.
Well, yeah, of course.
Because they can be very tricky.
Yeah, they'll get you. I've heard.
So it's good for people preparing for a vacation. The class is also good for people, and I run into a lot of American Italians that, they heard cuss words growing up.
They never really heard
the language.
Right.
So it's a good way to reconnect with your heritage, perhaps get your feet wet if your thought is, I'd like to learn the language. Well, in 4 weeks, like anything, like when you join the gym every January, you don't sign up for a year. Sign up for a few weeks. Let me see how it goes. Do I have time? Do I like it? Is it easy? Is it difficult?
Then you realize that the Piper's Pizza is a better option than going to the gym every once a day.
I was at the gym yesterday at 6 a.m.
You weren't eating pizza, though. I promise you that.
So, the class serves a dual purpose. And then, I get a percentage of people that just, want something to do on a particular night, enjoy a meal, get educated, have some wine.
Interactive. Absolutely.
So, my biggest thing, and to restaurant owners who are listening to the program, Italian restaurants preferably, is, restaurants. restaurants that understand I'm going to bring business to them.
Right.
So any Italian restaurant owners that are listening that would be interested in hosting my classes, you can contact me via Facebook, awesome. Via the radio show.
Awesome.
And that's the biggest challenge is finding restaurants. I've taught, you know, I've been teaching Italian for 23 years. So I've been in some restaurants 6-7 years.
Yeah.
So, and then I've done some restaurants, you do 4 weeks,
yep.
You see the food isn't what it's supposed to be, and, you know, four weeks.
It's got to be an experience, because not only are your customers going to learn, but they also want to enjoy themselves at the same time. And if the food is not what it's supposed to be, then they're only learning at that point, and they're paying for a subpar meal at the same time, which
exactly.
could be a big turnoff for a lot of people, myself included, if I was in that position.
Yeah, right. Of course. And Bob, we should switch contact information before you leave today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So the class serves a dual purpose. Again, people traveling, people wanting to reconnect with their heritage. And it's, you know, it's just like restaurants, okay? You want Italian, see you guys.
Sure.
You know, you want Polish, you go there. So there are alternatives to learning Italian, but what I saw is that there was a void, and I tried to fill that void with doing it the way that I'm doing it.
Right.
Because most people, you know, people say to me, oh, I want to be fluent. How many years you have?
Well, of course. Yeah.
So, you know, this is an alternative to maybe going to a college at night or somewhere where there's a teacher writing on a whiteboard. It's a fun way to learn. It's a fun way to spend an evening. And it's 4 weeks. It's once a week. So, you know, in 4 weeks, hey, I'm prepared for that vacation. Or, you know, hey, I've done this for 4 weeks. I've learned.
Right.
You know, I've
right.
got the capacity between my ears. I have the time. I'd like to pursue it. So I also do a lot of private lessons.
Okay.
Where we either meet via Zoom or, depending on your location, we meet at your home.
So the initial 4 week period would be the that would be the beginning stage.
Exactly.
And then if you wanted to pursue that and learn further, then at that point the 4 week span would be over. You would do it privately at that point.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Because private lessons we move at your pace.
Okay.
Whatever
right.
that might be.
Yep.
And of course it's one on one.
Yeah.
So all the attention is toward you.
Now, how do people get a hold of you if they want to sign up for this, Roberto? What would be the best opportunity for someone that wants to learn the language to get a hold of you?
The best way to reach me is via my website, which is www.learnitalian.us, and I like the word us.
Okay, perfect.
That's the best way. And plus, on my website there are free video lessons that I've produced to kind of stick your toe in the water.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday when I was looking at your website.
And I've got a lot of videos I've produced from my trips to Italy, and
yep.
you know, I've been going to Italy since 1978, so people taking a trip, I've got a lot to share with them.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're on a trip, you want to relax, you don't want hassles, you don't want to be nervous.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want problems.
Yeah.
So I'm there to erase all that.
Very nice. Well, I love it. I love everything about it.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Stopgap.
What's that?
Stopgap. You got to love it.
Yeah, right? That's it. Period. That's great. I love everything about it. It sounds like a really good way to transition to the next move of your career moving forward, because it's something you love doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it obviously, you know, you have no fear of talking in front of people. You know what
exactly.
I mean? Because you've got that under your belt
exactly.
for, you know, for however long you did it. And so it's just a good opportunity. It's a good fit for you moving forward.
Yes. I mean, I've been blessed. The broadcasting career was something I love to do. I met a lot of interesting people, and teaching Italian is something I love to do, and traveling to Italy, of course. So
yeah.
I've been blessed in that area.
Excellent. Excellent.
I'm sure it helps the restaurants out too. So, I mean, it's lucrative for the both of you. So
absolutely.
Sure.
You know? I bring clients into the restaurant that after the 4 week class, they're going to come eat on the weekends, or even during the class, they'll come back on the weekend with their friends, their family. So it's a win-win situation there. I bring money to the table.
You're bringing word of mouth advertising to the table.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because these restaurants that you host your class at may be off people's radar. They've never even heard of them before. So that brings new attention to a restaurant that you may not have known about previously, and now you fall in love with it. So it could be great for everybody.
And I encourage every restaurant owner and or chef, you know, I mean, every 4 weeks at some point during the class, come on out. I'll introduce you to everyone there. And especially during the first class when the owner's there, I make the point to say, okay, raise your hand who has never been here before.
Right.
So if there are 12 people in the class and 10 hands go up.
The owner's seeing dollar signs.
Yes.
Yeah, he's liking that.
I pat myself on the back that way.
Right.
Bringing him 10 new clients.
That's great.
That, as you said, may not have ever heard or known the restaurant existed.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of places out there that I don't know about. You know right. what I mean? So if there's any way to get attention or bring, you know, bring that to someone's, you know, attention, that's a great way to do it. And you're learning at the same time, which is a win-win.
Right. Yeah. And Italian culture, we like to eat. So
yeah.
be eating while you're learning. Again, it's a niche that I saw wasn't being served. And, you know, it's worked out well for 23 years.
Yeah,
so hopefully
you'll
be awesome. A lot more.
Yeah, that was that's the side of the family I grew up on. I'm half Italian, and my dad was Scandinavian. My mom is Italian, and they're both passed away at this point. But we used to go over to the Italian side of my family on a weekly basis. You know, I mean, that's basically where I grew up for the most part. And my grandfather was the guy that you said that was sitting there cussing and yelling. You know, he was the guy at the end of the table. I swear to God, never wore a shirt. He'd sit at the end of the table, and my grandma, 4'9", maybe 4'5" by the time she passed away. She shrunk over the years. The only person I ever saw my grandfather afraid of was my grandmother, who was 4'5". You ever meet my grandma, Mike?
I don't think I did.
Okay. That's the only person I mean, he was just this big monstrous man, and he would sit at the end of the table, and, you know, like, he would rule the roost. But I'll tell you what, he was petrified of my grandmother, who was 4'5", because she was the roost runner of that house.
Oh, she's a real deal.
Yeah. Italian women are tough.
Oh,
and
boy.
As they get older, they don't get any softer.
Oh, my God. You're so right. You're so right. It's so funny. But I guess
did you marry Italian, Eric?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
So you learned.
Yeah, what's that?
So you learned.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
No,
my beautiful wife, she is not Italian, thankfully.
As I know your beautiful wife.
Right, hello. Exactly. She's part Polish, part Irish, and on Easter we do pierogies, and that was what I did this
pierogies.
Past Easter. I made this giant batch of pierogies with sauerkraut, the sweet cheese in the middle, mashed potatoes, and I made a ham, you know, and I'll tell you what, man, we ate on this food. We had between myself, my wife, and the two people that we had at the house, I cooked enough food for 35 people.
Nice.
Because I don't know how to cook it. I don't know how to cook a small batch.
Me neither.
And so the refrigerator is just packed. There's nothing in the refrigerator except for pierogies, caramelized onions, mashed potatoes, and ham. And we ate off of this for like 4 days straight after. And then finally, we're just like, I can't eat any more pierogies. We have to do something with this. Get rid of it. Give it away. I don't care. Just get it out of the fridge. It doesn't matter. So, yeah.
You must cook in bulk then.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, maybe stop shopping in bulk.
Well, no, and that's what I did too. When I went, I must have bought 20 pounds of potatoes, and I'm like, I don't know who's coming over. And it turned out only two people came over, plus myself, my wife. I'm like, well, I got enough food for 30 here, so if anybody wants pierogies, jump in.
But I grew up just outside Chicago, which has the largest Polish population aside from Poland.
Yeah.
So
yep, that's where
I had my share
from.
Of pierogies.
Yep, oh, they're so good.
Funny story, sidebar, the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Philadelphia Phillies are offering this year at their home stadiums, a giant Philly with pierogies inside.
How was that even a thing?
I don't know, but it looked beautiful.
So it's got the Philly steak in
it? It's like a big Philly steak, about this long, and then they have pierogies just inside of it, with the Philly also, and some type of sauce on the top of it.
My God, man.
That is just... I was like, man, I have to do this.
But there's just no reason for it, man. Welcome to America. Success.
You might die directly after eating it.
What's that, Ed?
So we'll just mix everything together.
Yeah, put it all together, man.
You might die directly after eating it of a heart attack, but I mean, it's got to be delicious.
But it's going to be worth it, though.
Worth
so you're going to come back and say, you know what? I'm glad I died. I went out the way I wanted to.
You know
to.
What? That one stent wasn't that bad. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, when I need to get another one,
we'll go back up to Pittsburgh.
You know, along those lines, I always tell people in my class that I would love to be the fly on the wall, because when people go to Italy to eat, of course, and do other things, they find out that Italian food in Italy is nothing like what they grow up with.
Absolutely. It's clean.
Seasonality and simplicity
it's
are
clean.
The two words that I use.
Yep.
But, you know, again, those are all things we cover in the class. But, again, for example, you know, spaghetti and meatballs doesn't exist.
Of course.
Real Italian cooking, meat and pasta wouldn't be physically on the same plate.
Right.
So, again, those two words, simplicity and seasonality, that is Italian food.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. No, I've heard that from multiple people too. You know, like, I cook American Italian at my restaurant. I cook the stuff that people want. Chicken parmesan, spaghetti, meatballs, you know what I mean? Linguine pescatori, things like that. That's on my menu. I don't do pizzas. I just do the Italian food, and I do sandwiches and subs. But yeah, I mean, you know, we were gonna run a special the other day. Cacio e pepe, you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were gonna do that the other day.
See.
Yeah. I was gonna run that the other day. I had all the ingredients and I just never got around to doing it, but I made one. And I let everybody taste it. They're like, this is, you know, that I work with. And they're like, you got to run this. So maybe when I get back in the house today, I might do it. But I got a couple hours before I get over there.
One of the four Roman pasta dishes that you must eat.
Oh, is that right?
Cacio e pepe, carbonara, amatriciana, and alla gricia. In fact, I just posted something on Facebook about that the other day. But in Rome, those are the four pasta dishes you have to eat.
I got
eat.
Three of those.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've got two of those. I got two out of the four. Yeah.
I think I've had all four in one day.
Oh, that's one time in Rome. Yeah, so. that's a good day right there. Hey, listen, folks, we got to take a quick commercial break right now. It's 9:49 on the Knife and Fork Radio Show. Phone lines are still open, 727-441-3000. We're going to come back, wrap the show up here in this next segment, and I'm going to tell you about a few things that I hate.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
At Goodfellas Knife and Fork Italian Kitchen, we never compromise quality. Every dish is made to order, and everything that goes in the dish is made from scratch. From our delicious marinara sauce to our homemade croutons that go in your Caesar salad and everything else in between. We offer dine-in, take-out, and delivery as well. Call us at 727-841-8864 or check us out on the web at www.goodfellasitalian.com. We also have a full catering menu available for all of your large party needs. Mention this ad and get 10% off your entire order. Once again, that's Goodfellas Knife and Fork Italian Kitchen. We're located at 5446 Grand Boulevard in beautiful downtown Newport Richey. You can reach us at 727-841-8864. Check us out on the web at www.goodfellasitalian.com.
This April 9th to the 14th, join us in Lakeland at Sun and Fun's biggest event ever. Discover a jam-packed lineup of special events all week long. Dazzling air shows and hundreds of exhibits are waiting for you. And don't miss a once-in-a-lifetime concert by Dylan Scott.
I need one she ain't climbed up in that ain't played her favorite songs.
With special guest Sarah Evans on opening night Tuesday, April 9th at 6 p.m. Witness the Thunderbirds soar through the afternoon sky as you explore more than 500 exhibitions. Watch mesmerizing fireworks shows on Wednesday and Saturday night and more. Get ready for an immersive experience for the whole family. And don't forget, you can bring kids under 10 for free. Whether you stay for a day or all week, take fun to new heights this April. Don't miss out on Sun and Fun 2024. Get tickets and a guaranteed parking pass at flysnf.org. That's flysnf.org.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. Knife and Fork Radio Show with Mike, Eric, and Roberto in studio with us today. That was a really good segment, the last one. You know, it was a pleasure learning and hearing about your expertise and all of your endeavors in the world of sports and, you know, commentating and, you know, broadcasting and now the new phase of your life that you're in right now. That was very enlightening. And hopefully for everyone out there listening, if you do have any desire to learn Italian and you want to try some good food, get in touch with Roberto because he's got you covered. Like I said, I mean, he said he's going to teach you a 4-week class. He'll get you basic conversational to do the basics and at least get you around or at least get your foot in the door. And then you may experience a restaurant that you had no idea existed in the meantime. So it's a win-win.
And let's get you out of the country. Have some fun.
Well, yeah, let's get out of the country, yeah. I want to bring up a quick, I've got about 7 or 8 minutes till the show ends, and I'm going to knock out a few little points that I want to touch on. I've got a girl that I know, all right, and she works at this pizzeria, all right. Now, get this, Mike. This is a crazy story, okay? Out in the Riverview area. Okay. Now, apparently they do a bang-up business. They do a pretty good job, right? The owner keeps all of the tips that the staff makes.
Mm.
They're not allowed to keep any of the money. So you walk in the door, you throw a $5 bill into the tip jar, right? At the end of the shift, the $5 should be divided up between the people that are on the tip out program, right?
Of course.
No, none of this joint, man. The owner keeps all the credit card tips, keeps all the regular tips, and just pays the staff the amount of money that they make per hour, $12, $13, whatever it is.
I don't think that's illegal.
I don't think it's illegal either. It's immoral.
There was an episode of Gordon Ramsay's not Hell's Kitchen, but the other one, the Dining Nightmares, whatever.
Right, Kitchen Nightmares.
The owner kept the tips.
I saw that episode. Yeah,
and they went.
It's
wacko.
Not illegal. No, it's not, it's perfectly legal.
It's immoral, you know what I mean? But it's immoral. It's not legal.
It's immoral. That's the problem. Yeah. You know, you got working a counter at a pizzeria. What do you got? You got a high school kid. You know, let's call. You, yeah, you don't have space. A 48-50-year-old man working a counter answering phones, ringing in pizzas. You got a high school kid that doesn't necessarily need the money, but appreciates the money at the same time. And you know what? When you throw that extra $5 in the tip jar, you throw that $5 on a credit card for a tip, and
makes
it adds
them
up.
Work harder.
I'm gonna tell you, man. These guys at my restaurant, they make so much goddamn money from the tips that they get. I mean, it's crazy. You know what I mean?
It's just the only way to survive with inflation.
Like the second half of the shift. I mean, I have at any given time, you know, I've got 3 to 4 people working there. The other night, I had 3 people working there. I looked at my credit card tips that I had to pay out the next day, and I was like, oh my god, I just need to work here. You know
what I mean? I'm in the negative thousand.
Yeah, can somebody buy this place immediately so I can just work for them? Because they're making so much money. I mean, the tip pool at any given day on a slow day is $65-$70.
Wow.
And I divide that between 2 to 3 people at the most on any given day.
That's
so
nice.
In addition to their pay that they're making, and that's just the credit card tips. That's not the cash that's in the bucket that they split up that I don't even know about. You know what I mean?
Man.
That's just the credit card tips. And so it's gonna be disheartening when you're, you know, you're a high school kid, you're breaking your ass for this guy or this girl, whoever it is that owns the place, and they're keeping your money. You know what I mean? It's disheartening. It's not illegal, but it's 100% immoral. And
it's possibly illegal considering if he's.
Well, no, they're making more than minimum wage. They're making minimum wage.
Well, yeah, as long as they're not, you know, taking a $3.02 tip credit.
Yeah, they're not tipped out employees. Okay. They're making $12 an hour. But I mean, how effed up is that, man?
How about the living room? Have you heard about the living room?
I know the living room. I don't know what's going
on. They're creating a 20% service charge on top of the bill as soon as you walk in the door.
I know. I did hear that.
And
out there in Dunedin. Yeah.
And that goes to the restaurant.
Yep.
So then you have to tip accordingly on top of that.
They justified it with the fact that they have to give their workers more money because of inflation and because of that.
Well, and the rising rate of minimum wage, obviously.
Right. But because they have to pay more in order to staff properly, they're going to charge more. They're not going to raise the menu prices. They're just going to charge you a 20% flat across the board. I couldn't believe that when I heard it either.
Oh, yeah. There's so much pushback right now. My buddy used
to be the GM.
You think
I can get away with it, Goodfellas?
Hell yeah.
All right, starting today, you guys. 20%. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that to you. Unless you really want to give it to me, I'll take it. But I'm not gonna force you to do it, okay?
No. We're not going to go out of business on a 20% deal.
I don't know if I touched on it last week, but I know we did the free kids meals for the kids out in the Newport Ridge area. I can't remember if we touched on this last week or not, but over the course of spring break, we did hand out 184 free lunches to the kids in the area, and we tried to do the best we could for the community. So there's 184 families out there with kids that did not go hungry over the course of spring break, and we'll be doing it again here soon on the next break when school is out of session as well. I just want to touch on that a little bit.
That's an amazing thing, just so everybody knows.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it's something nice. Like I said, I don't have as much as some. I got a little bit more than others, and if I can give back a little bit here and a little bit there, if I can't do it, I won't. But if I can, I'm always going to try my hardest to make sure I get it done.
It's always appreciated, you know, because especially if you grow up poor, man, you don't even realize it.
Yep.
You don't even realize
a sandwich and a juice box make all the difference.
It goes a long
sometimes.
Ways, man.
Yeah, it's true.
You know what I mean?
It's true. It makes a big difference. I don't know if all the listeners are out there. I guess I know. And again, thank you to the people that are always following us on Facebook and listening to the live stream. If you do follow my Facebook page for the restaurant Goodfellas Knife and Fork, 5446 Grand Boulevard, you can go onto my Facebook page. And I've started doing over the course of the last couple of weeks little cooking tutorials. They last about 2 minutes, minute and a half, 2 minutes each. And I share the ingredients and I share the preparation of some of the dishes that I have on the menu. Some of my more popular ones that people do enjoy. And you can go on there. You can watch me on Facebook. I do the dish start to finish. I think I just did a baked ziti or something. Something
yeah,
simple.
Yeah, it was
baked ziti yesterday.
Yeah.
Is that what
I actually watched them. I'm like, yeah. Okay.
That's pretty cool. You know, it just gives you something. You hear the food, and maybe you think about it, and you come and you look at the menu, and you're not sure about it. I show you exactly how I prepare it, so you can make an informed decision when you do come in. If you want to order it, order it. If you don't get something else, I don't care. But at least you have a little bit of an upper hand moving forward. You know
what's going on. And then I watched it the other day, and I've been friends with you for so long, and I didn't even realize that you were funny.
Am I really?
Yeah.
No, I didn't realize that either.
It's hilarious.
I just thought I was an idiot. I didn't realize that being an idiot my entire life made me funny. I guess
you have a sense of humor. I was like, wow.
Can I
take it back?
It doesn't make any sense either. Hey, last thing I want to get into. I like to end the show with things that I hate.
This is a good segment
right here that we just started rolling out about 3-4 weeks ago. And Roberto, I like to end the show with this, and I go off on these tangents about things that drive me crazy in the world today. Not restaurant related, maybe they are, but I'm going to start off with, you know what? Where do you get your hair cut, Mike, when you go for hair? Or do you do it yourself? I know a lot of people do it.
No, I don't do it myself. I don't have enough hair to do it myself.
Right.
I go to the barbershop on the corner by where I work.
The barbershop.
It's $20.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, I don't want to give any negative connotation, but he only accepts cash.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. Most barbers do.
He only accepts cash and Venmo. I'm like, hey, what are you doing?
Well, I don't go to the bar. Sometimes I go to the barbershop, but usually I go to like Great Clips or Supercuts. It's quick, it's easy, it's convenient. You know what? Here's the thing. When you're cutting my hair, don't talk to me. I don't want you to talk to me. I just want you to cut my hair. I'm here for a service. I'm not here for a stupid conversation that has nothing to do with it. When I leave the building, it's not going to impact my life. Listen, hairdressers, it's Supercuts and Great Clips. When I come in there to get my hair cut, do not talk to me. Ask me, how am I doing? How would you like a cut? And I don't want to talk to you for the rest of the
time. That is it.
Thank you.
Some
next
of my
thing.
Worst haircuts in my life because you wouldn't shut up.
I'm telling you, yeah. And you're like, get me out of this chair. Next thing that drives me crazy, and I hate, people that don't understand social cues in life. So you're having a conversation with somebody, and you're like, all right, and then they're talking to you, they're talking to you, they're talking to you, and you're slowly stepping back, you're moving away, you keep saying, oh, wow, that's crazy. Don't get the hint. If I say, wow, that's crazy, 9 times in one conversation, odds are I'm not paying attention to a goddamn word you're saying, and I don't want to talk to you anymore. Understand my social cues. When I'm moving backwards away from you and saying that's crazy multiple times, I hate you.
Wow, that's crazy.
Hey, listen, guys. Hey, that's it. Hey, I got to wrap it up, guys. Thank you for listening to Knife and Fork Radio Show.
Ciao.
Hell yeah.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Stacey Lynn. The Justice Department has announced new federal rules aimed at closing the so-called gun show loophole. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
This regulation is a historic step in the Justice Department's fight against gun violence. It will save lives.
Under the new rule, background checks will be required before anyone can buy guns online or at gun shows. It's set to go into effect in about a month. There's a new immigration law in Iowa.
Republican Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds has signed a bill into law that gives the state authority to arrest and deport some migrants. It would be a crime for a person to be in the state if they were previously denied admission or removed from the U.S.
It might have the potential to perhaps even separate some families. So that's our concern.
Walter Garcia is an immigration rights advocate in Council Bluffs. The new Iowa law is similar to one in Texas that is being blocked by courts. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
The state of Arkansas will be before a federal appeals court today arguing its law banning gender-affirming care for minors is constitutional. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
The issue before the Eighth Circuit is going to be whether there is this